Interest rates are at staggering lows and some countries are experiencing negative rates. The Reserve Bank recently cut its cash rate to a record low of 1.5%, and markets think it could keep cutting. And a reason for all this low inflation is as growth slows down and inflation goes with it, it's not just a temporary blip, but it seems to be the size of a larger structural change in our economy. So maybe something bigger is going on, Josh Nicholas reports.
If you go back a few years ago, 20, 30 years ago, the big worry was inflation was too high. And of course, in Australia, it was sort of in double digits. And so 30-odd years ago, they started rigorously trying to get inflation down. Now the problem is that it's gone the other way. So we've gone from inflation being too high to now being inflation too low.
This is Shane Oliver. He's the chief economist and director of investment strategy at AMP. And he's talking about something that concerns a lot of economists right now. Inflation is just too low in Australia and in many other places around the world. Prices just aren't rising as fast as they should be. The latest figures we have, from the 3 months to June, has inflation at around 1.5%. This is far below the 2-3% that the Reserve Bank shoots for. If inflation was working as we think it should, a book that costs $10 last year should be about $10.20 this year. But that's not happening. There are loads of theories for why inflation is so low. Economists point to spare capacity in the Australian economy. I'll give you one example. While the unemployment rate is low, there are still loads of people under and unemployed. And the transition away from the mining industry could be a big factor, especially as some of those high-paying jobs disappear. But there's something else to consider. Maybe there's been a fundamental change to our economy.
I think there's no doubt there's new entrants to the Australian economy, and that's putting downwards pressure on our inflation rate and on prices. Just go through our shopping centres these days. You see a lot of brands there that weren't there 10 years ago, and that's causing intense competition. The Aldi's coming in with different business models, taking on the Woolworths and the Coles.
So the idea is that companies like Aldi and even Amazon and Book Depository have come into Australia and are dropping prices. They have completely different business models to their counterparts here. Aldi doesn't put a huge margin on most of its goods, like some other supermarkets. And an internet business like Book Depository has a huge global supply chain, so it can sell things for far less than smaller Australian bookstores. And technology is part of all of this.
You want to go on a holiday, you can do all the checking yourself online, you know, cut out the commissions that would normally be paid and get a lot cheaper holiday. So all of this, I think, has put power into the hands of the consumer, which ultimately is resulting in lower prices. Ultimately, that's a good thing. The question is, if it goes too far and you end up with ongoing deflation, falling wages, then it becomes a bad thing.
Okay, so there's a couple of phenomena there. So one is the fact that prices are starting to be a bit more global. Like I can shop for the same thing, the same commoditized good I can find pretty much anywhere. But the other one is it, there's a bit of technology involved there. So technology I've read is almost inherently deflationary because you're getting more and more computer power for almost cheaper or the same price. So do you think this is a bit of like, this is the way the world works now? Or is this just over a couple of years we've had this huge change in the way we do things and it'll settle down?
I think there's always an element of cyclical factors in this. The economy has been relatively slower than it used to be. That's caused downwards pressure on prices, and that's the story globally. But I think the reality is there has been a radical change in the flow of information, and this has been a function of technology. So it's cheap. Two things going on here. One, it's cheaper to ship goods all around the world. Mm-hmm. So if you see something for less in some country, you can always get it. Secondly, and most importantly, is the access to information regarding that pricing. This is on the part of both the retailer. They're getting access to information to try and get prices at a more reasonable level around the world. So you can go online. An Australian retailer of tyres can import their Bridgestones from Malaysia and get the cheaper price for Australia. Likewise, Australian consumers can do exactly the same thing. Look around, do the searches regarding holidays, regarding clothes, and that again puts downwards pressure on prices and then affects the prices at the retail level generally. So I think, yes, there's an element of cyclical behaviour in all of this, and at some point down the track, the downwards pressure on prices won't be as intense as it is now. But I think those changes, particularly the easier flow of goods around the world, globalisation, if you like, and easier access to information, I think have revolutionised things. And so we are into a world which is going to be a lot more competitive.
Let's take a step back and see what it's like from the front line. I mentioned Amazon before. It's a huge company that is probably having an impact on a wide variety of products. But books are what Amazon is known for, and booksellers have been feeling this crushing effect for close to two decades now. So I went to a local bookstore, Glebe Books, to talk to co-owner David Glantz to try and get a feel for what it's like competing against these global giants.
Oh, in a nutshell, it transformed the industry because from the very outset it changed the way people perceive their choices, buying choices. And that's pretty straightforward. So we're wedged, we're caught between a rock and a hard place. We're perceived, as most other bookshops are perceived, to being a place that people should be able to view and find out about books. But our stock is more expensive, so we face the double whammy of falling sales plus still being a resource for people to find out what books are around and what they can buy, and then going away and buying them online.
Of course, Amazon has many advantages over a brick-and-mortar shop. This is because Amazon is basically a catalogue. It doesn't have half the costs that David faces, like renting a shop on a main street and keeping books on the shelves, so it can sell stuff for cheap. Store owners like David have just lost control of the price. They can't really raise them if they want to stay in business. They can't make that $10 book $10.20.
Well, there's no retail price maintenance, so obviously any retailer can sell anything for whatever they like, but you'd be an idiot to... I've only seen one attempt to actually try and sell books at higher than the recommended retail price, and that failed spectacularly for Angus and Robertson and Borders and the Red Group. That's what they were doing before they went under. Mm. So taking the RRP as your benchmark, we try and special price probably a nice percentage of our new books every month for the first couple of weeks that they're out. And we try and do deals with publishers to see if we can get better prices from them. But they're selling much cheaper to Amazon than they're selling to us. So we can never match what online retailers are doing.
David Glantz of Glebe Books, ending that report by Josh Nicholas.